Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
The topic is still continuing. The topic is about israf, extravagance. But the way of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh is that he identifies the problem and he gives the cure. He gives the cure. So extravagance and its remedy, a kind of extravagance. And of course, it is further expounded upon by Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Damat Barakatuhum wa Afiyatuhum. One of the ways to get rid of israf, wasteful expenditure, one of the ways to get rid of wasteful expenditure that Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has advised, we have mentioned two in the previous essay. Two were mentioned, remember. The first advice was, observe the creed, the way of the men of Allah, Ahlullah, the Awliyaullah. Observe the creed of the men of Allah, not of the formalists, people who like form, stick to their way of life and fashion, and do not be bound by customs and habits. That was the first advice. And the second one was, do not become indebted. Stay away from borrowing money, borrowing it. It's not too good. Do not become indebted unnecessarily, even if you have to forsake customs. Indebtedness causes much anxiety with very bad consequences. Every Muslim should adhere to the creed of the men of Allah. So stay away from indebtedness. Observe the creed of the men of Allah, not of the formalists. So we have mentioned two in the previous essay. Here is another, and these are taken from the book Anfasir Isa. Begin with your home. Begin with your home. Retain whatever is of use, and everything that you do not need, throw it out, or sell it off, or give it to the poor. If you are not driven to give voluntary charity, then give them away against zakat. And Fase Isa, Maulana Isa alayhi rahmah, who is quoting the words of Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi. And this is a very good thing for us to begin with. Begin with your home. Retain whatever is of use, and everything that you do not need, throw it out, or sell it off, or give it to the poor. If you are not driven to give voluntary charity, then give them away against zakat, as a form of zakat. Mufti Taqi, Damat Barakatum, comments on the words of Maulana Thanwi here. He says, thus, it is extravagance to keep in the house too many things. Retain only what is necessary to live a comfortable life. Only that retain. As for those things that you do not need, give them away in charity, or sell them, and spend the proceeds on your own needs. Not so, Elias? But the unnecessary collect in the house things that are not used and have no benefit is bad, very bad. So let everyone look in his home for superfluous things. However, everyone has his own needs, and they differ from person to person in every age. and according to circumstances, one's needs may differ. Once my Sheikh, Maulana Masihullah Khan from Jalalabad, Rahmatullah Alayh, he delivered a lengthy sermon on this subject. He said everyone has a different level of necessities. Maulana Shafali Tanwi had many khalifas, but Maulana Masihullah and Maulana Wasiullah, they were very, very outstanding khalifas of Maulana Tanwi. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Myself, Mufti Shabir, we were privileged to meet Maulana Masihullah and to be in the company of Maulana Masihullah from Jalalabad, alayhi rahma, wa nawwar Allahu marqadahu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim, ameen. He said, Maulana said, everyone has a different level of necessities. A man who has few connections with people may need only one bowl and one plate and a cup. But another who receives many guests may need 10 bowls or more. Once, Mufti Sahib says, once I wrote to Maulana Masihullah Khan, because that was his sheikh, and then after him his sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hai. Once I wrote to Maulana Masihullah Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh, I have a bookstore from which I earn enough by Allah's grace that I do not need more. I get enough from that. So I feel like serving the madrasa, teaching, doing some khidmat for the madrasa in an honorary capacity without salary and thing. Maulana Masihullah Alayh Rahmah asked, how much do you earn? I wrote, 3,000 rupees per month. 3,000 rupees per month. Maulana wrote back, this income is not enough. This is not enough for you. So do not yet decide to serve the madrasa without salary. Don't decide that as yet. This is not enough for you. So needs vary. Excess thing, another thing is that excess things disrupt concentration. It makes the house feel heavy. If you have unnecessary things in your home, then you and your members of your household find it disturbing. It disturbs you. And you lose peace of mind and concentration. Let's hear the story, the qissa of Khwaja Fariduddin Attar. So the topic under discussion is excess things disrupt concentration. And if you have unnecessary things in your home, besides being extravagance, you and your members of your household find it disturbing and lose peace of mind and concentration. The great Khwaja Fariduddin Attar, Rahmatullah Alayh, he is amongst the Awliyaullah. Khwaja Fariduddin Attar, Rahmatullah Alayh, was a great wali of Allah, a great saint, a great wali. In the beginning, Philip Tida, he was a tajir, he was a merchant who did not have an inclination any mile at all towards religion, worship or zikr, no inclination towards that. This was in the manner of merchants. He dealt in perfume, herbal medicine, and sweet drinks. One day, a majzoob came to his shop. And if you know a majzoob, how a majzoob does look, like a vagrant, like a fakir, with the hair all disheveled, but they are very deep in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day, a majzoob came to his shop and looked all around, examining it, from top to bottom, and then from bottom to top, and then from right to left, and left to right. So Atar asked him, "Kya hua? What's wrong?" He said, "I am looking around, I'm looking around." He asked, "Would you like to buy something?" He said, "No, no, I don't wish to buy anything. I look at these vials, I'm looking at these vials." He asked, why do you look around?" He said, "I look at the vials and wonder that when death, when mouth comes to you, how will your soul emerge from these little bottles? Your soul will run from vial to vial, and you will not die easily, but your soul will run from vial to vial. That's why I look at these vials with wonder." The heart got the message. Fariduddin Attar alayhi rahma was infuriated, angered. He said, "My life will end as yours. My life will end as yours will. How will your soul depart? Tell me." The Majzub said, "I will depart like this." And he said, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and lied down on the ground, put a sheet of cloth over him, and he died. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Majzub, hey, Majzub. This was the message of Allah from Alam-e-Ghaib. This was a message of Allah from the unseen for Sheikh Fariduddin Attar. His heart got the message. He thought, indeed, my ruh, my soul is attached to these tiny little glass bottles, perfume, herbal medicine, sweet drinks. My soul is attached to these tiny little glass bottles. Allah inspired him to do tawbah, to repent. And thereafter, he devoted himself to Allah's religion. And Allah raised him to the station of great men of Allah. Look at how he started, his ibtida, and where was his intiha. One sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The less the assets, the less worry. The more worldly things a man has, the more his worries. The more his worries are, and the more his mind is occupied in these things, thus the less he has, the less his worries. A man with little belongings has no cares. He will not fear thieves and bandits. The moderate courses for him to have what he needs according to his position. Why should he collect more and confuse his mind? The best course for one with excess belongings is to donate the excess to a poor person. Otherwise, he may even sell them and either buy his own needs from the proceeds or give it in charity. So you could check out the wardrobe and thing and see what you are using, and you never use it. Years pass by and I never use this piece of clothing. What are you doing with it? 3 years, 4 years pass, I never use it. Better give it out in charity. And if your heart don't want to give it in charity, sell it and use it for your own needs. Or give it out in zakat. This is not niggardliness. Some women keep aside unusable household items like old newspapers, empty cans, etc. And then they sell it to a peddler. They sell it to a peddler. Many people accuse these women of stinginess, bukhl. But selling these things is not being stingy. No problem with that. In fact, the Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi recommended that these excess household belongings should be sold. The proceeds are Allah's blessings and could be utilized to benefit. Sweeping the dastarkhan, cleaning the dastarkhan, that is also an art. My respected father, Mufti Muhammad Shafi, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to narrate to us an incident with his teacher, Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain. Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain was the teacher of Mufti Shafi, Rahmatullah Alayhim. He was better known as Mia Sahib, Mia Sahib. He was a ustad, a teacher of the higher classes of Darul Uloom Dioband. A born wali he was. Wow. Mia Sahib. Mia. Maulana Sayyid Asghar. Sayyid Asghar. He was a born wali. My father said that he had gone to his home one day, and when it was time for the meal, he invited him to have meal with him. After meal, my father thought that he should dust off the mat. And as he was rolling it up, Mia Sahib asked him what he was doing. And he said that he would dust off the dastarkhan, the dining mat. Mia Sahib asked him if he knew how to do it. Do you know how to do it, to clean a dastarkhan? And my father replied, what was there to know about it? Mia Sahib told him that it was an art to clean the dastarkhan. Is an art in that. My father requested him to teach him. The moral here is, do not waste Allah's provision. So he taught him by doing it himself. He put every leftover separately, the bones separately, the pieces of meat separately, crumbs of bread and small pieces of bread separately. Then he said, I have a place for each of these things. Bones go there. The dog knows it and comes and carries away what he wants. He already know that. He know how to find a place there. The pieces of meat have that place. The cat will eat them. I put bread here on the wall and the birds feed on it. And crumbs of bread I put in the ant's hole, and they consume it. This is Allah's rizq and provision, and none of it must be wasted. Subhanallah. That is why these are our elders, our akabir. This is Allah's rizq and provision, and none of it must be wasted. Today's wastage. Look at our gatherings where meal is served. How much is wasted? How much is israf? How many there are who go hungry, restless, without food? Many do not find anything by the name of food, and they make do with little odds. But at the very time these people have nothing to eat, while they have nothing at all to eat and they are hungry, food is wasted in our gatherings. Food is wasted in our gatherings, and we have a bad habit of dumping the food in the garbage bag. But it have a cat somewhere, some dog somewhere, some bird somewhere, some ant somewhere. Wow. Why? Only because we do not value Allah's blessing. Is that the story of when Mufti Shafi and Mufti Taqi Usmani and his brother Zakir Kaifi and the 1 paisa, 2 paisa fell? Remember that story? That's also Allah's blessings. 1 paisa, 2 paisa. Look for it first. Why do we do this? Only because we do not value Allah's blessing, and we do not know how to use it and how to prevent wastage. Nothing is useless. Always remember this. 3 words. Nothing is useless. Allama Iqbal alayhi rahma, wrote a poem for children, and my respected father liked the poem very much, especially the last couplet. The last couplet. It told children that nothing in life was meaningless. That's what the last couplet said of Allama Iqbal. Nothing in life was meaningless, and no one was evil in nature's workshop. Remember this always. Nothing in life was meaningless, and no one was evil in nature's workshop. Allah has created everything with a purpose, with a hikmat, with a wisdom. Use it properly. Put them away. Anyway, look at things in your home. Look at things in your home and put everything to use. If you do it as part of your religious teachings, then you will get reward for it. Do it with that intention, inshallah. The next quotation from Maulana Thanawi, rahmatullah alayh, has a similar message. Maulana says, always inspect your house. Always inspect your house. You will find many things that are decaying. White ants and termites may have infested some. Put them away. Put them away from your belongings so that there is a light in the house. So that there is a light in the house. It's good to have your house clean and spick and span. Do away, discard. Always inspect your house, said Maulana. You will find many things that are decaying, not good anymore. White ants may have infested some. Put them away from your belongings so that there is light in the home and the house. If you follow this advice, you will put the forgotten things to some use. Besides, the home will get a cleaning and a glitter. This is part of religion. Even to have the home with a cleaning and a glitter is part of religion, though people classify it as worldly. Muslim is always Muslim. Muslim is always Muslim. Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh used to say, if anyone wishes to become a Sufi or a Wali, let him go elsewhere. There are plenty khanqahs he could go to. Let him go elsewhere. If anybody wants to become a Sufi or a Wali, let him go somewhere else. Let him go elsewhere. There are many khanqahs around. But if anyone wants to become a human being, if anyone wants to become insani kamil, he may come here. He may come here, where he will learn the basics of being a human being. He is not a Muslim only as long as he's on the prayer rug. He is not a Muslim only as long as he is on the musalla and has nothing to do with Islam the moment he is out of that. Only a Muslim in the masjid, only a Muslim when performing salat, only a Muslim on the prayer rug, and has nothing to do with Islam the moment he is out of that. Rather, a Muslim is always a Muslim. A Muslim is always a Muslim. As the brother of Mufti Taqi, Mufti Rafi Usmani, Damod Barakatum, he narrated to us the story about the pilot and the rich man, when he said, a Muslim is always on duty. The story, remember, he said when his friend, a very rich man from Karachi, used to fly from Karachi to Bangladesh. Is it Bangladesh? He used to fly somewhere all over. And used to fly first class. So the stewardess would bring alcohol and wine for him to drink because he's in first class. And he would tell them, no, he wasn't. And then people will come and say, this is for free, this is free, enjoy it. You know, this is first class you are in, enjoy it. And then he told them, he said, okay, this wine and thing. He says, go give it to the pilot. Give it to the pilot. So they said, no, the pilot is on duty. The pilot can't drink. He says, so too, I am on duty. A Muslim is always on duty. Always on duty. Rather, a Muslim is always a Muslim. Wherever he is a Muslim. In the mosque, at home, in his room, still a Muslim. In the market, still a Muslim. In his office, a Muslim. Islam's teachings apply to every section of life. We must respect them. Islam's teachings apply to every shoba, every section of life. We must respect them. Do everything thoughtfully. The Maulana's next saying is, make it a rule in your everyday life that whatever you do, you will give it a thought first. Do not do it without deliberation. One of the ways to avoid extravagance is to deliberate before doing anything. If you are by nature extravagant and musrif, you will buy whatever you think on the spur of the moment. So make it a habit of evaluating whether it is worthwhile, otherwise you will waste your time and your money. Do what appeals to your mind. The last advice on this subject the Maulana gave is, do not do anything on someone's prompting. Act according to your own mind and opinion. Let others prefer their advice in multitude. Do only what your mind says, and Fase Isa. The meaning is that you should not abide by advice of the common people, preferred on the basis of custom, fashion, etc. You should follow what seems correct to you. Forget about people. Let other people criticize you or taunt you. Forget about them. It does not refer to elders. However, this quotation does not imply that the advice of elders should be rejected too. It doesn't mean that. Like a sheikh or a teacher or a father or a guardian, rather obey the elder. It is not proper to follow one's own opinion against an elder's advice, for a man wrecks himself if he prefers his own opinion against an elder's. Hence, before you take anyone as your elder, examine him for suitability of opinion, honesty, and well-wishing. If he possesses suitability, then entrust your affairs to him. Just think about how will you face Allah. What Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says is, a man fears about the taunts of the world. He fears about the taunts of the people of the world and how he will face them. Rather, a man must think how he will face Allah and should not worry about what others think of him. Think of Allah, what Allah thinks of you. Let them think what they like. If they mind, how will it wrong him? Be independent of creatures. If anyone takes one step to push himself away from dependence on the creatures and makhluk, and he takes one step to please Allah, then he ultimately gains respect of the world and people of him. If anyone takes one step to push himself away, to push himself away from dependence on the creatures, one step to push oneself away from dependence on creatures and makhluk, and he takes one step to please Allah, then he ultimately gains respect of the world and people will love him. So forget about pleasing people. It is the characteristic of this world that if you pursue it, it will flee from you. But if you seem to flee and run away from the world, it will pursue you. The world is like a shadow, which if you follow, it seems to flee, and you will never catch up with it. But if you walk away from it, the world, which is like a shadow, it will tail you. It will tail you. Words of wisdom. The same thing applies to the world and its wealth, honor and fame. Don't run after it. You're chasing after shadows, you can't catch them. Run away from it, turn in the opposite direction, they will run after you. So do not worry about what people of the world say. Look at the wedding of someone's daughter. And the purpose of this is, as one person rightfully said, you can please some people sometime, but you can't please all the people all the time. You can please some people sometime, but you can't please all the people all the time. So get up and stand up. Stand up for your rights. When his daughter was getting married, a man thought that the in-laws of the bride always remark disparagingly about the dowry. In other words, in a very negative way and a critical way about the dowry her parents send her with and give her. They always taunt her, the in-laws. I guess that's in Pakistan and India. It doesn't happen here in West Indies. They have their custom. That's in Pakistan and India. They always taunt her. So he thought that he would not give them an opportunity to taunt his daughter. He thought that he would not give them an opportunity to taunt his daughter, whom he could give everything possible. I'm going to give her everything so they can't taunt my daughter. Indeed, he collected every possible item she could need, every possible item she could need, and he gave it to her. So when the bridegroom took away the bride in a procession and they were going to the native place, when the bridegroom took away the bride in a procession to his native place, they came across a river, an uneven land. They needed a shovel to make the passage even, but this item was not found in the bride's dowry. So the in-laws said, look, he did not even give a shovel in the dowry. Man couldn't even give a shovel. If he had included it, we would have smoothened our passage and advanced forward. So is the moral. True story. Observe, though this man omitted nothing, yet people found an excuse to taunt him. So people cannot be prevented. Do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. You cannot prevent people from finding fault with you. This is why Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, do not abide by what everyone says, but follow your own opinion. Mindful, of course, of having to face Allah. That must be the key thing. Do not abide by what everyone says and what they will say and what this one will say and that one will say and trying to please this one and that one and taking this. But follow your own opinion, mindful of having to face Allah. If anyone mocks you after that, ridicules you, criticizes you, then let him be and pay no heed to him. Don't even turn. Pay no attention to him. May Allah enable us to abide by these teachings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh.